Coming to you live from the IBC Television Studios, it's the Hand Plus Podcast, brought to you by Movie Changeup. As always, I'm your host, Joseph Fricke, with my co-host, Tristan Mayer, where each week we watch everything on streaming, whether it's movies, television shows, and kind of tell you, hey, this is what you should watch, this is what you should avoid. We kind of have all the various streaming services to kind of allow you to not have to watch everything because we recommend what you should watch. That was a rough intro, but hey, we had some technical difficulties to start, and this is our actually second go of it. So, Tristan, how was your week in streaming? Because honestly, for me, it was super thin.
Yeah, if you watched last week, you know that I mentioned I had COVID, and I planned on saying, oh, I'm going to watch a lot, you know, I'll be stuck at home. But it turns out if you have COVID, that means you're sick. You get sick, Joe. I don't know if you knew that, but I was actually very sick. I was in bed most of the days, so I didn't get to watch too much, but I did watch some stuff. And I actually am excited for the episode because we're going to be talking a lot about what's coming up ahead, you know. And now that I'm, you know, recovered and back to my healthy ways again, I'm excited to see what's coming up this month and what's just dropped the last couple of days. Excited to watch some of this new stuff, but yeah, looking forward to the conversation for sure, because a lot of it is, you know, what's coming up for the next month. It's going to be an exciting month.
Yeah, for sure. And before we kick off talking about what's coming out this month, let's talk about what's we watched this last week, and I'll kick it off with HBO Max. I don't know what you necessarily watch on HBO Max, but I watched the Christmas movie, A Hollywood Christmas, and it was definitely a fun movie, probably one of what I imagine kind of this formulaic Christmas movie is going to be. Is probably going to be the best one I'm going to watch all year, I'm not going to lie. It's directed by Alex Ranarivello, written by John Ducey, starring Jessica Vann and John Swigert. I'm not going to lie, I've never heard of any of these people. However, basically the premise of this movie is Jessica Vann plays a character also named Jessica. And her job is she directs your classic Hallmark, Lifetime, Netflix, whatever, Christmas movies. That's her job. And, you know, she just loves these movies. These are kind of like her favorite type of movies. And in comes Hollywood producer, accountant, Josh Swigert, playing the character of Christopher. And he is the studio executive to basically say, like, hey, your budgets have been cut. The company who bought out your company has no interest in making these type of movies, and good luck, you're not stuck making these type of movies anymore. You can make the real type of movies you want to make. And essentially the plot of this movie is, instead of your small town local girl getting your big business executive to fall in love with Christmas, no, he has to get her to fall in love with Christmas movies. And that's kind of a fun little twist, because they're like, her assistant best friend realizes that they are in fact living one of these kind of Christmas movies, because they're slowly falling in love. The couple on set has a kind of enemies to lovers transition. And like I said, if you enjoy these type of movies, Lifetime, Hallmark, oh, this small town girl meets the big city guy and they slowly fall in love, then I definitely think you'll get a kick out of this movie. It's called Hollywood Christmas. It's on HBO Max.
Yeah, I'm curious about it. The movie kind of twist makes it seem like it'll be a little bit more up my alley, you know, because I do love the Hallmark cheesy Christmas movie once in a while, you know, and I think the personalization of it being about movies might make it something that makes it a little meta, kind of a meta fun watch.
Yeah, it is definitely a meta watch. I really enjoyed it. You know, if you're, like I said, if you're into those type of movies, 100% check it out, because it's, I think it's, for what it is, it's very well made.
On HBO Max, I started the series The Sex Lives of College Girls. It was one of the binges I did while I was homesick. It's produced by Mindy Kaling. She kind of created the series herself, and it follows these kind of happenstance roommates in college and their various escapades across their university. It's kind of a fun romantic comedy about these women, but not really about like the men they're with, more about the women becoming friends and bonding despite their, you know, different upbringings and different origins, kind of coming together because they're roommates in the situation and bonding over that. You know, a pretty fun comedy, very much an X-rated comedy. You know, they don't shy away from the swears and nudity and anything like that. It reminds me a lot of Girls, Lena Dunham's show on HBO that kind of launched her career. So I'm wondering, because none of these people are anyone that I know in the cast. So I'm curious if maybe like one of these people could be the next kind of like Lena Dunham to take off into comedy. Pauline Calame is playing, if you recognize the last name Calame. Her brother, Timothy Calame, is a bit more famous than she is, but she's had some history in Judd Apatow movies and things like that, so she's a lead of the show, and I'm wondering if she could be like kind of a big breakout hit if this show does take off. But yeah, I recommend it if you're a fan of Girls, for sure. It has that similar comedy, the similar kind of look at like the real life of young women, and I definitely think it's a fan of, if you're a fan of like Mindy Kaling's comedy, definitely up that alley as well, but more in the X-rated side, more of like, you know, not really The Office, but her letting loose, her being able to, you know, do the sexuality and the swearing that she wants to do. So I had a good time with it, and I recommend it if it sounds like something up your alley.
One question I have for you is, if this show is made today, would all of the characters get canceled?
Look, I mean, that's an interesting take from Mindy Kaling, say the least, because, you know, she produced The Office, and I don't know if people will be getting that. That show is really popular. You know, we're talking about a streaming podcast here, and I know The Office is streamed all the time. It's one of the most streamed shows on any platform.
Yeah, that was just for anyone that didn't get my joke. Mindy Kaling said in an interview either today or yesterday that if they made they couldn't make The Office today because all of the characters would get canceled, which I think is interesting because it's probably available to watch right now on about 4 different television channels, and no one's.
And it's one of the most requested of like, where is this streaming at? What platform is it on? People ask me that all the time. They're, where can I watch The Office? And I have to like keep track, even though I don't really watch The Office that much anymore. I feel like I got to keep track of where The Office is at, you know?
Yeah, exactly. All right, anything else we have to say about HBO Max before we move on to Amazon Prime?
That's all I got for you.
All right, so our movie of the week is currently streaming on Amazon Prime. It's also on Paramount Plus, so if you have either of those, you could have watched it this week and kept up with us and talked about our movie of the week with us. And this week, our movie of the week, following our Christmas holiday theme, is the Bill Murray starring Scrooge. It's odd to say modern take on A Christmas Carol because of the fact that it came out in the 80s, but at the time it was a modern take on A Christmas Carol. It's a movie that almost feels dated today. It very much feels straight out of the 80s because it's Bill Murray plays Frank Cross, who's like a Hollywood producer working on producing his version of like a modern Christmas Carol. And you got a lot of 80s cameos and 80s stuff, and it's kind of a thing they don't even really make anymore. So it does feel very dated, but I think it is a very fun movie, very comedic movie, obviously. If you're a fan of Bill Murray 80s movies and you haven't checked out Scrooge, definitely check out Scrooge. But unlike a lot of comedies today, I think there is like a heartfelt moment. There is an emotional moment. There is a sad moment that I think is what lacks in a lot of comedies today. But I am a big fan of Scrooged. I watch Scrooged every Christmas, basically on Christmas Day. Or it's either Christmas Day or Christmas Eve, depending on my availability, because I usually fly up to Michigan to see my parents around that time of year. But I always watch Scrooged and Die Hard. And
classics.
They're both great classic Christmas movies. And so, yeah, like I said, if you're, you know, looking for a new movie to add to the rotation or a movie to watch with your family that your kids can watch, maybe a little bit older kids, probably kids no younger than 9 or 10. There are some spooky and scary moments. That isn't just like a straight up kids movie. Definitely add Scrooge to your lineup this year.
Yeah, this is you say you've seen this a bunch of times, and this is my first time watching Scrooged. And I've seen Christmas Carol a ton of times. It's my movie that I watch every Christmas season, you know, maybe not on Christmas, but around that time of year, it's always the one that I watch to get in the mood. And I love kind of the general story arc of Christmas Carol and the ghosts and all of those things. So I was curious to come into this and say, okay, how much of it is Christmas Carol? Is it literally just a Christmas Carol arc and Bill Murray is the main character, or is it like gonna get meta and interesting about it? And it's both, you know. They do kind of essentially just have Bill Murray do the Christmas Carol arc literally, but I think it's also fun that he's producing an actual Scrooged, you know, live TV performance, and you get to kind of see that. You mentioned the technology being very dated, but I think it's kind of cool to see how they did that back in the day. You look into like a time capsule of technology, and we talk about streaming today, we kind of take for granted that we can just sit here and press a button on our remote and immediately watch like anything we want. So it's cool to look back and think about like when it used to be kind of difficult to broadcast out a signal more than it is today. So that was very cool too. But Yeah, it's definitely just Bill Murray going on a Scrooge arc, and I think Bill Murray is a reason to watch this. He's a perfect, like, grumpy old man that, you know, he's mean, but he's endearing enough that you laugh at him, and you're able to kind of, like, enjoy Bill Murray being rude for, like, 90% of this movie, you know, because he's kind of an asshole to, like, practically the end of the movie, so.
Yeah.
But Bill Murray's a fun asshole to watch, I guess, in movies at least. Maybe not so much in real life from what I've been hearing, but good asshole in movies, you know?
Yeah, and if you didn't know, it's directed by Richard Donner, who also directed the 1970s Superman. He directed Great Lethal movie. Weapon. He directed The Omen. And it also stars Karen Allen, who people may recognize from Indiana Jones and The Sandlot. You also have John Glover, who people, if you're a fan of Smallville, he played Lionel Luthor. Bobcat Goldthwait, Carol Kane, Robert Mitchum, Alfred Woodard, Jamie Farr, Robert Goulet, Buddy Hackett, Lee Majors, the $6 million man. Just a lot of kind of, especially at the time, big time cameos.
Yeah, you can definitely see it felt like watching like a Kevin Smith movie or something. It was like every other scene, it was like, oh, there's a recognizable face, but like a decade or so earlier than that.
Yeah. All right. So wraps up our movie of the week. Anything you got to say about Amazon Prime before we move on?
No, I do want to talk about our movie of the week for next week, though. We might as well talk about it while we're covering the movie of the week this week. We're going to keep with our Christmas theme, our kind of offbeat Christmas theme as well, because we're going to go with Black Christmas, the horror movie classic. Some people have called it the first slasher. It predates Halloween, you know, so it has like, oh, we're going to have a guy kill some people on a holiday, but it actually came out before Halloween. So we're going to watch the all-time classic Black Christmas. I'm looking where it's streaming now. I know I just sent it to you. And, of course, it has now already slipped my mind. It's on Peacock, Shudder, and if you don't have either one of those, it's for free on the Roku channel, which we talked about earlier for the Weird Al movie, and also Tubi and a bunch of the other free platforms. So if you haven't signed up for Peacock or Shudder, you can watch it on one of the other ones, but give some love to Peacock this week. We don't cover that much Peacock, so I figured it'd be fun to pull one from Peacock.
All right, for sure. And also some kind of news going on, especially good news for Amazon Prime. It has taken over Netflix as the number one in user numbers. And my question for you is, does it have the content to sustain? Because every time we go to talk, we have a lot to talk about HBO Max, a little bit here and there to talk about with Hulu, a lot to talk about Disney Plus. But Amazon Prime, for me anyways, always seems like a struggle to find something worthwhile to talk about.
Yeah, they have a pretty solid backlog, and a lot of stuff that I go to and watch when I end up going through my list of movies and I'm saying, oh, what's streaming? And it's almost all the time it's either like HBO or it's Prime. You know, those are kind of the ones that I feel like have a really strong backlog. But yeah, in terms of new stuff, which is really what draws people in, they haven't had a lot. And Rings of Power, I know critically did not do that well. It did get great viewership numbers, though. And I wonder if that was a good sign for Amazon. Maybe not so much about Rings of Power specifically, but I think it hoped that it showed to Amazon, like, we can put the money where our mouth is, make something that is actually well-produced and cool, and we'll catch the eyes. So I'm hoping that, you know, they're actually going to back these numbers up. Of course, it's a little bit misleading because I think they're Prime including, delivery. Like, all Prime members, you know, and how many people are signing up for Prime and not never even use the video thing once. You know, they only use it for shipping, you know. And is that accounting for this number? I think it is. So that's kind of a misleading number.
Yeah, and like I think part of it's a failure in the marketing. Like 2-3 years ago, one of my friends messaged me because he knew I watched like shows on Prime Video, and he was like, "Hey, can I use your Prime login?" And I'm like, "Or your like Prime Video login?" I'm like, "What are you talking about?" And he's like, "Well, there was a show or a movie or something that was on Amazon Prime," and I'm like, "You have Amazon Prime too?" And he didn't realize that like having like Amazon Prime delivery got you the movies and video and stuff as well. And I feel like even still, they don't really market that it's the same thing. Hey, if you have Amazon Prime delivery, we have, like, Amazon Prime Video is yours, too. I don't think people realize that.
It also doesn't help that their app is, like, miserable. And I half the time I'll open it up and I'll be like, never. I'm not going to spend time browsing through this thing that, like, half the time does not work. It gives me the same movies over and over again. It's not Netflix-level bad in terms of repeating titles, but it definitely is not the best app for usage.
Yeah, I feel like every streaming service should have top 10 most watched the last however long, whether they want to do the last 24 hours, the last week, whatever. The top 10 most recent, and then new. So basically everything uploaded in reverse order. So like the first thing you click on is the most recent, and then that. And then after that, it can be recommended. But so many times I'll click on a streaming service, any of them, and like it's a struggle to even find, hey, what's new on this app?
Yeah, they're all, I think some of the apps are better than others, but yeah. I think Prime is one of the weaker ones. I would love to do an episode someday just like ranking the user interfaces of each of these apps, because I feel like each of them has their own pros and cons, but there's some that are that I really like. Like HBO Max, I think, has a great app, even though it gets a lot of hate for the fast forwarding maybe not being great all the time.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, this would have been a great week to do it if we didn't have the top 10, because it was a pretty thin week. But also, I guess there was a Prime original series you watched on Amazon Prime as well, Three Pines.
Yeah, I started Three Pines, a murder mystery series starring Alfred Molina, Doc Ock from Spider-Man, where I know him the most. But he's in kind of this small town, like almost I'm just gonna call it Three Pines because it almost feels like a Twin Peaks kind of town. But it reminds me a lot of Wind River, the movie with Liz Olsen and Jeremy Renner, because it's much more about like whose murders are investigated and whose are kind of just forgotten, and it deals a lot with Native Americans and that group in particular being kind of forgotten by the system and left to kind of rot in these small towns. And I'm liking it so far. It's only two episodes in, so I can't really say how much it's going to deliver on the mystery or kind of any of that stuff, but it just premiered so far. And yeah, if you like Alfred Molina and you want to see him in kind of like his True Detective, you know, kind of role, this is not quite True Detective, but it is, you know, a fun small town mystery so far with a lot of compelling drama that I think is going to be fun to explore more if they get more into that kind of political angle of like who is investigated and who's not and why. You know, I think that'll be what's interesting more so than who killed who, you know.
Yeah, definitely. All right, and moving over to Netflix, we have a few shows that we're going to talk about. A few projects, but we'll kind of more talk about them when we get to them in our top 10, because we are a little bit into December, so some things have already dropped. So we'll wait and talk about that when we get to them in our top 10, so we don't have to talk about them twice. But one thing I will want to say is Wednesday looks like it's basically one of the most streamed shows of all time, which is shocking because I'm like, it's a somewhat known IP, but it's not like the Addams Family animated movies that just come out were like amazing hits. So I'm curious, is it Jenna Ortega? Is she a next like massive star? Because clearly the Addams Family IP is not the biggest IP. So why is this now all like the biggest streaming show of all time?
I do think it's all Jenna Ortega. I think this just proved that Jenna Ortega is like the it girl, you know. I think after X came out, she was back on the radar again, and that also launched Mia Goth like around the same time. I think both of them are kind of launching as these new hit it girls in the kind of new horror age. So yeah, I think Jenna Ortega, her season 2 contract's going to be mighty steep, I imagine. You know, she's going to get quite a boost, and not just for this, but for Scream and any other franchise she wants to come back for or continue on with. I think she's going to be a huge name right now, and this just proved that she has the appeal to back it up. You know, people are actually watching, not just tweeting about her, but actually watching the shows that she's on, you know.
Yeah, that's for sure. It definitely got a lot of engagement online. I see people talking about that dance. Like, I can't go on TikTok or Instagram without every fourth or fifth video being like, hey, here's new information about the dance from Wednesday. So it clearly struck a nerve with somebody.
Yeah, I didn't love it, but I'm hoping that season 2 will be better. You know, I liked it, so I'm looking forward to more of it, and I'm glad it's a big hit for her.
Yeah. All right, and going over to Disney Plus, we have this first episode of the series Willow came out, which is a sequel to the movie also called Willow. Not gonna lie, I'm not a big fan when they do that with, hey, we're in the same universe as this other project, and we're gonna call our show the same thing. Halloween has done it. So now it's just confusing. Hey, have you seen Willow? Oh, you're talking about the movie or the show? Like, just call it Willow: something.
But yeah, speaking of Scream, I think there's I think the next Scream is also called Scream, so there's three of them now in this franchise that are called Scream.
Exactly, it's dumb. Just come up with a colon title. It's not that hard. It's not going to make... I mean, it's because producers feel like if they people think it's a sequel to something and they haven't seen the original, they're less likely to see it. But people know it's a sequel. People know it's a continuation. You're not fooling anybody. But you did watch the first episode of Willow. We both really liked the movie. We're both surprised it's honestly not more well-known and not more part of the pop culture. But what did you think of Willow?
Yeah, like you mentioned, we really were impressed by the movie, and I think especially like the production value and the kind of a huge scale of it was it really impressed me, and that doesn't necessarily carry over to the series. It's a bit bigger scale than like a Disney Channel original series might be or something like that. You know, it has kind of the epic fantasy scope, especially like the interior, some of the sets and the costumes are really cool, but this does have the unfortunate hindrance of following up not just one but two very, very well produced fantasy series. Like right before this, you know, you had House of the Dragon and you also had Lord of the Rings, which definitely shine a lot more than this does in the production value department. But I think if you're missing the fantasy and you want to get more wholesome, more family friendly, kind of PG-13 PG fantasy, this is definitely up that alley. I'm enjoying the characters so far. There's a couple of people you might recognize from other Disney properties. Flash Gordon himself, or not Flash, Flash Thompson himself from the Spider-Man movies. He's a main character here. You also have, I cannot remember the woman's name now. She was in, not just Solo, but she was also in Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Disney seems to be sharing the wealth here. And of course, you have Willow himself returning in kind of like this Chewie We're Home level epic moment, you know, where it's like, oh, he's back, here he is. And so I can't really say how good he is because he kind of just shows up and you're like, oh, he's here, let's go. And then the episode ends. I guess spoiler alert. But yeah, I'll talk about more of Warwick Davis as I get further along. But so far, all right on the show. I'm not blown away, but I'm interested enough to keep watching and see how the first season goes. And especially once they start delivering on like big action sequences and things like that. What does that look like on the show?
Yeah, that makes sense. I definitely need to check it out, and I will be watching it this weekend. We'll probably, when it ends, do a season wrap-up, let people know how it ends. If you let people know kind of where we stand on it. Hey, if you love the movie and you want a continuation, this is for you. Or basically be like, hey, if you love the movie, don't watch this because it could ruin it for you. Or be like, hey, you don't even have to watch the movie to love this. Yeah, we'll kind of let you know where everything stands afterwards. And also to move over to Hulu, I believe you watched the Chainsaw Man anime on Hulu.
I did. I'm not a huge anime watcher, but once in a while, a rare anime will hit me, especially when I'm kind of desperate and I'm stuck in bed wanting to watch something. And Chainsaw Man was a really, really fun watch. It's about as goofy as the title Chainsaw Man makes you think that it is. About this guy, he goes on kind of an adventure hunting down devils and monsters with his chainsaws. So it's about, I think what made this really fun for me is that it's filled to the brim with movie references. And like really, the director seems to be a big fan of like classic cinema and kind of the old school movies, you know, that you just might see on like the Sight and Sound Top 100 that came out recently. So you'll see a lot of visual gags and references to a bunch of movies and characters that seem like they're ripped out of, you know, Pulp Fiction or various famous movies like that. So I had a great time with the meta-ness of it and the goofy movie references, but also the crazy fun action. You know, I love an anime for me that is just crazy, cool action and big scale fun. And this is all of that, you know, so I had a good time with it. It's still going on Hulu. It's only in the first season, a couple of episodes. I think it's like 8 or 9 episodes deep right now. So if that's something you might be interested in, a bunch of really fun, crazy action, and also a bunch of meta movie references. Check it out. I'm really liking it.
All right. Awesome. And so I think that kicks us over, and we're now going to start our top 10 most kind of anticipated December drops. And whoops, my computer's mad at me. Now I fixed it. So basically talking about the projects we're most excited to watch in December. Like we said, a few of them have already come out. We've already watched them. We'll give you kind of our thoughts on them, but just kind of give you a preview of what you can check out in December that we're looking forward to. And so we'll do our honorable mentions. The first one, we have Prisoners. It's the Denis Villeneuve directed, starring Jake Gyllenhaal, Hugh Jackman. It's a movie, it's been out, it's an older-ish movie, it's been out You can find it online probably to buy, but I've always wanted to watch it. I've never gotten around to watching it, and now it's coming out on Netflix. I'm super excited to watch it, and I'll definitely be checking out when it comes to Netflix later this month.
One up for me is Bardo. This is another Netflix drop that's coming up this month. It's the next movie from Alejandro Iñárritu, who directed Birdman and The Revenant. So if you are into those, I really, really liked, especially Birdman, but I thought Revenant was gorgeous to look at least. And from what I've heard of like the festival screenings from this and the early screenings and stuff like that, this is also very, very gorgeous to look at and not necessarily plot forward. So I think it'll be a good one to sit back and watch and see some gorgeous, gorgeous cinematography. So if you like the visuals of Revenant, I'm looking forward to this, but maybe not going to be the most compelling story in the world.
All right, and the next one is one that it's more of a curiosity than anticipation, and that is National Treasure: Edge of History, coming to Disney Plus. It's a streaming series that I think is potentially just going to be in the same universe. I believe it's just in the same universe as the original National Treasure. I was a massive fan of the National Treasure movies. I've seen images from this, and I think the trailers come out, and nothing has really impressed me. It doesn't look that interesting. I think the whole draw of National Treasure is Nicolas Cage, and without Nicolas Cage, what draw is there? It looks like Catherine Zeta-Jones is playing the villain, which I think is great, because I remember when this dropped, the fact that they were making a National Treasure TV series, me and Tristan joked of like, well, Sean Bean, classic 90s actor, was the villain in the first movie, and then Ed Harris, classic 90s villain, was the or a classic 90s actor was the villain in the second movie. And then we heard there was a woman going to be the lead of the television show, and we're like, oh, they got to get a classic 90s actor or actress to be the villain in the movie. And it looks like they took our advice, because Catherine Zeta-Jones completely fits that mold. And honestly, I expect this show to be bad, and I hope it doesn't tarnish the brand too much, because there has been rumblings, and those rumblings keep growing and growing and growing, of a National Treasure 3 starring Nick Cage. I think it's time, and I hope if this is bad, it doesn't hurt the brand to the point that it kills that project.
Yeah, I had no interest in watching this without Nicolas Cage, so unless you tell me there's a Nicolas Cage cameo, I probably won't be watching this show.
Yeah, I don't fault you. I don't blame you. And next we got one that's on your list, not on mine, and that's Matilda the Musical coming to Netflix.
Look, I mean, the trailer makes it look real bad, but the original musical is based off Matilda. If you know the story of Matilda, it's about a young girl with kind of oppressive parents, and she develops telekinesis and goes to kind of a school for it. And I like the movie. I have a lot of nostalgia for the movie. The trailer doesn't look great, but the actual musical it's based on won a lot of awards. It was really acclaimed. It's written by one of the more successful, you know, Broadway writers of all time. So I'm wondering if this is just a bad trailer for something that will turn out to be really good, or if it's just an accurate trailer for a project that maybe would have been good in an idea, maybe cool on the stage, but didn't translate to a movie well at all. So I'm curious, cautiously curious, but not hoping, not big hopes, I guess I'll say.
All right, and our final honorable mention was also on your list. I honestly have no idea what this is, and that's I Love My Dad coming to Hulu.
Look, I love my dad. I do love my dad, but not in this way, because this movie, it stars Patton Oswalt as a dad who is not really able to let go of his kid. His kid's reached that age where he's like, my dad's not cool anymore. I don't want to hang out with him, and I'm going to start dating women, you know, and his dad's not really ready for that. So he decides to catfish his son and becomes his son's fake girlfriend. And it's a comedy about like him having to manage this spiraling, snowballing lie of him trying to invade his son's personal space, not necessarily as a girlfriend, but just, hey, I'm going to pretend to be a girl. I'm going to add him on social media so I can see what he's doing. And then it's like, oh, I'm going to start talking to him a little bit so I can like see what he's doing with his friends. And then all of a sudden, you know, I'm going to flirt a little bit. And all of a sudden he's dating his son. So I want to see how that spirals out of control. And it looks very ridiculous and very awkward. And I feel like Patton Oswalt is a perfect actor to pull off a really awkward premise like that. So it could be really fun. It could just be cringe that is hard to watch, but I'm hoping that is both.
All right, that sounds wild to me, and I will have to say there's been a massive mistake. That did not cross my path at all. I did a bit of research. I go to all the streaming services, look to see what's upcoming, all that, and that somehow completely missed me. If I had read that, that would have been top 3 for sure. So I am sorry, I love my dad. You shouldn't have been an honorable mention. You should have made the final list. And for that, I apologize. That's my fault, and I take ownership of that. But we move on to our now unofficial top 10. And our number 10 is one that you are excited about, and that's The Banshees of Inisherin coming to HBO Max. Tell us about that.
Yeah, Banshees of Inisherin, it's one that I was not really on my radar at the beginning of the year, but it started to pick up steam and get more and more acclaim, so I'm kind of wondering if it's going to sneak in there and get some Oscar nominations. So if you're making your Oscar watching early, maybe this is the one to start it off with. Colin Farrell is in it, Brendan Gleeson is in it, Barry Keoghan, who, you know, will be playing the Joker, and a bunch of, you know, he's kind of popping off himself, you know, a little bit. But this is directed by Martin McDonagh, I believe is how you pronounce the name. But he did 3 Billboards, he did In Bruges, he did 7 Psychopaths. So a lot of stuff that's been pretty popular, especially 3 Billboards. You know, that got a lot of Oscar nominations, a lot of wins, I believe, even. So this could be one that maybe finally sneaks in and gives Colin Farrell an Oscar nomination. That would be cool. I love Colin Farrell, so it'd be cool to see him show up at the Oscars. But yeah, this is on my radar, and I'm looking forward to watching it. I unfortunately don't know too much about it, other than that it has good reviews and is directed by someone who's talented and has a good cast. So I'm looking forward to watching it. I'll probably let you guys know what it's actually about and if it delivers when I watch it this week.
All right, yeah, and it comes out December 13th on HBO Max. And our number 9 is If These Walls Could Sing, coming to Disney Plus on, I believe, or is it on my list? December 16th is coming to Disney Plus, and it's essentially just a documentary on the Abbey Road Music Studio. And Disney Plus definitely has its faults, but the one thing I think they've done a really great job on is their documentaries. I think if I had to rank the various streaming services just based on documentaries, I think Disney Plus may take the number one spot.
For sure, for me too.
And so I'm not like this huge music fan. I'm very much of kind of a best of type of guy. Like, you give me any musical artist top 10 songs and I'm probably going to be a fan of it, but I'm not like a big deep dive person. But I am very curious to watch this documentary. And I'm excited to watch it. I like documentaries, especially entertainment industry ones. So,
yeah, this was not on my radar until the list, but I'm definitely going to be checking it out now that you pitched it to me.
But yeah, like I said, it's coming to Disney Plus December 16th. And now we move on to our number 8, and that is White Noise, a movie starring Adam Driver, coming to Netflix this month. What's White Noise about?
I'm looking forward to this a lot. Yeah, Adam Driver is the lead here, but you also have Greta Gerwig, and she's the staple of Noah Baumbach. He was the writer and director of this. He did Marriage Story and a bunch of, you know Noah Baumbach movies. He has that kind of mumblecore appeal, and this seems like it's going to be really, really strange. The book, I'm like halfway through the book, and it's about this family who is living kind of this ideal suburban life, and then all of a sudden there's a gas leak, and they have to abandon it and go on this road trip to find somewhere to survive. So you get a road trip movie starring Adam Driver and Greta Gerwig, where as they go along, it gets more and more strange, more and more surreal, kind of with each stop, kind of changing genres and changing tones. It's a very odd read. So I'm curious to see how it's going to be as a watch. You know, is Noah Baumbach going to swap up his style each time they go to a different location? You know, is he going to get out of his Noah Baumbach comfort zone, his Francis Ha running and talking kind of, his comfort zone of that, or is it going to be all Noah Baumbach all the time? I'm really curious to see what he does with this very, very strange book. And Adam Driver, I think, is a great actor, so I can't wait to see what he does with reuniting with Noah Baumbach here.
Yeah, and that comes to Netflix on December 30th. And going to our number 7, we have Muppets Christmas Carol remastered. And I also think they added a deleted scene in there, I believe, if I'm not wrong. And that's coming to Netflix. No, sorry, not Netflix. Disney Plus, December 11th. And I'm going to be honest, I've never watched a Muppets Christmas Carol.
Neither have I, which is why I put it on my list. You know, it's the perfect time to watch it. It's remastered and restored. It's going to look great. It's going to have an extra lead scene. And I've heard the song in the lead scene is great. You know, so I'm looking forward to finally checking off this long-awaited Christmas classic and yeah, now that they're going to restore it and everything, it's a perfect chance to have both of us watch it and give our fresh eyes, you know, our new thoughts is, you know, we got to watch Willow and things like that as fresh eyes. So I'm curious how the Muppet Christmas Carol will hold up to 2022, nearly 2023 vision.
Yeah, the only thing I really know about it is Michael Caine plays Scrooge, and essentially his mentality going into it is, I'm going to play Scrooge like Scrooge. I'm not going to play it as if there's Muppets around me. I'm going to play this as serious as possible.
And I think and he does sing the song that was deleted, so you're going to be able to see a newly restored singing song from him.
All right, I'm excited to see that. And then on our number six spot, we have Senior, a documentary from Robert Downey Jr. about Robert Downey Sr., who was an acclaimed director during his time. And I think it's very interesting to see a documentary about someone famous from someone famous who's also super close to them. So I really don't know much about it, to be honest, other than everything I've said. But it's already out. It came out December 2nd. It's on Netflix. And when I get a moment, I'm definitely going to be checking it out. I believe you've watched it.
I just watched it yesterday. Okay. I'm really impressed by it. And I think the perspective is what makes it so interesting. The fact that it's Robert Downey Jr. making this about his dad, and it has that love letter feel to it. You can tell that he cares about his father. He wants to preserve the legacy of this, especially now that in our generation, I would certainly say Robert Downey Jr. outweighs his father in terms of fame and popularity among movie fans. You know, I'm much more familiar with Robert Downey Jr.'s work than I am with the senior's work. So I was excited to learn about his career and what he accomplished within the film industry, because it was a much wider and bigger career than you might know if you're not familiar with him, you know, because his career spanned a lot of projects, and you can tell that, like, he influenced Robert Downey Jr. a lot. So I was really moved by this, honestly. I think I knew nothing about Robert Downey Sr.'s career, really, other than a couple of the biggest points, and I was really, really, you know, I cried a couple of times watching this, and I think it's very wholesome. I'm moved by a lot of things that are like family love and looking up to your parents and things like that. And I think you can really feel the love in this documentary. So if you want to learn about Robert Downey Sr. or you also want to learn about, you know, what inspired Junior, what made him the real life kind of superhero and recovery story that we know outside of the pages, you know. So I love this, and I think it's a really, really impressive documentary.
All right, and now we move on to our 5 through 2. And our number 5 on the list is Bullet Train, it's already on Netflix. It came out just like Senior did on December 2nd. Tristan, you watched this as well. I have wanted to see this. It's directed by David Leitch, who I think is a fun director. He directed Deadpool 2, co-directed the first John Wick. And it stars Brad Pitt, who is my favorite actor, and not exactly like hard-hitting, difficult role, but it's a fun action movie on a train. Should I watch Bullet Train?
Joe, you're going to have a blast with this. It's exactly what I think you're looking for. You know, it's Brad Pitt and a bunch of recognizable faces going through like a John Wick action movie on a train. You know, it's exactly what you're looking for out of Bullet Train. All the action is like super quick. A lot of like, you know, the showing off one takes and the neon lights and the quippy back and forth dialogue in between. You know, so they have a lot of fun with the location too. I wish they would have stayed on the train more. You know, I feel like I wish they would have just dedicated themselves completely. Like, we're going to be 100% on this train beginning to end. We're not getting off the train, because they do like start off the train and cut off the train a couple of times. So I wish they would have gone full in on Bullet Train, you know, but it's a fun one. It's not John Wick, but it's better than a lot of the studio's other movies have been. So if you are a fan of the studio's work, like Nobody and things like that, it's on the top end of the studio for sure. But you're not getting more than you are expecting. You know, it's Brad Pitt on a bullet train fighting a bunch of dudes.
All right. And next up on the list, we have number 4, definitely one of my picks. And that's Last Chance U Basketball Season 2, coming to Netflix December 13th. I think this is a great docuseries, one of the best docuseries going, the whole Last Chance U universe. Basically, if you don't know, they go to junior colleges and film an entire sports season, following the kids in their lives, following their basketball season, problems in their personal lives. And being a junior college, a lot of these kids are kids who are in high school looking for a chance, or who didn't have any real major offers out of high school and junior college is really their only chance to play college sports, and they say, okay, if I can prove it at this level, then maybe I can go to Division One. Or they were in Division One and were good players but hit some personal problems. Maybe they got into problems with the law, problems with their grades, and so they go down to junior college to kind of reprove themselves, and this is kind of like their last chance to make it, hence the name Last Chance U. And it's a really well-made, good series. The last season, season one, I think it is going to be a perfect time capsule moving forward, because their season started in November of 2019, and as it ended around March of 2020, and we saw COVID happen and how it directly affected these people's lives, and it was kind of, like I said, it's going to be an interesting little time capsule moving forward. And I haven't watched the trailer yet, usually, because when it comes to something like this, where I know I'm going to watch it, but I don't have to listen to the world around me talking about it constantly, like something with like a Star Wars or a big time movie trailer, feeling like the pressure to watch it, I can just know, okay, this is coming out, I'm going to watch it. I don't watch the trailer. I do know I love the coach from season one, so hopefully they stay with the same team, because I'd love to see more from this coach, but I honestly don't know if it's the same coach from Last Chance U Basketball season one.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what you think of this one, Joe. Once in a while, a sports doc will win me over. You know, like the Hard Knocks, something like that. Yeah. So I'm curious, if you really like this season, I'll give it a watch.
Basically, Last Chance U is Hard Knocks, but following a junior college team. Essentially what it is.
Sounds good to me.
All right, and then number three is a movie we both watched. It's, not going to lie, probably my favorite movie of the year so far. There's a number of them I have to go back and watch, but it's Top Gun Maverick, coming to Paramount Plus on December 22nd. And the movie's great. If you have not watched Top Gun Maverick, circle December 22nd in your calendar and fire up Paramount Plus. If you don't have Paramount Plus, get a free trial. It's worth it. The number one thing I came out of Top Gun Maverick thinking was, they don't make movies like this anymore. When people say they don't make them like that anymore, Top Gun Maverick is what they're talking about. It's a great, fun action movie. My girlfriend had never seen the original Top Gun, and we had tickets to see Top Gun Maverick. She watched Top Gun and was like, I don't like this movie. She let it kind of be known that she didn't care about the movie that much. What she didn't tell me is she was dreading going to see Top Gun Maverick, because she thought Top Gun kind of sucked. She came out of Top Gun Maverick, told me, hey, just so you know, I didn't like Top Gun at all. I was not looking forward to seeing this movie, and I love Top Gun Maverick. So check out Top Gun Maverick. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, I don't have much nostalgia for the first Top Gun at all. I actually did not like it. I'm in your girlfriend's camp of not being a fan of Top Gun. This seems okay. Good. It's, you know, okay. But it's fine. You know, it's all right. But this one blew me away. I mean, it's my favorite movie of the year, and I've seen a bunch of movies this year, and that shocked me, because, you know, I thought it was going to be another one of those dumb Memberberry sequels. And at points it is, but I think they deliver on the craft of the filmmaking so well that, like, nothing else matters. These flight scenes are just so incredible and so engaging and so real. You know, like, it looks real because a lot of it was real. It was real, you know, real planes doing a lot of the real flying. And, of course, there's more CGI than, you know, any other movie in parts. But that's just, it's a great, well-shot, well-produced action movie. And yeah, if you haven't seen it, either run out to the theater and see it now while it's still showing, because they brought it back for a couple of weeks leading right up to the release on Paramount Plus. I wonder if they're doing it as a way to, like, literally market Paramount Plus. But yeah, it'll be on Paramount Plus in a couple of weeks, so definitely check it out. It's a blast. Even if you don't like the first one, you don't even have to watch the first one at all. Just watch this and you're gonna have a great time.
For sure. And now going to number two is a completely different movie, and that's Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio, coming to Netflix on December 9th. It's a stop-motion animated movie. It's Guillermo del Toro's version of Pinocchio. I haven't seen it. I don't believe you've seen it.
I did see it. I actually reviewed it last week on the show.
You did. That shows how little I pay attention sometimes, because I do remember you reviewing it, because I asked you if they had the donkey scene, and you said... there is, and that's the number one. If the donkey scene didn't exist in the story of Pinocchio, I don't know if I'd be curious to watch this movie. But I'm curious mainly to see how Guillermo del Toro does it.
Yeah, I mean, I talked about it a lot last week, so I don't have much more to say. But it's Guillermo del Toro, really, really well made, really gorgeous stop motion Pinocchio. If you like the weirdness of the donkey scene, you You might not get exactly that scene, but you're going to get the weirdness. You're going to know that weirdness is kind of throughout, you know?
All right. And now we have our number one. If you've been following this show for a while, you may be able to guess what it is. If you've been following streaming news and just entertainment news for a while, you may be able to know what it is. But with that, we have our number one most anticipated project coming to streaming in December, and that is Glass Onion, A Knives Out Sequel, directed by Rian Johnson, starring Daniel Craig as Benoit Blanc. Completely different cast aside from Daniel Craig. Just A-lister after A-lister after A-lister after A-lister. A stacked cast. It was, you know, we talked about it a bit last week, but I'm excited for it. It's if you like Knives Out, I'm sure you're going to love Glass Onion. I haven't seen it yet. Tristan has, but just the way the world works. Sometimes life isn't fair.
It tapped our list because I can't wait to watch it again. You know, I watched it twice in a theater, and I'm going to watch it again on Netflix as soon as it drops because it was that good. You know, I didn't put anything on my list I didn't plan on watching, and Glass Onion I'm definitely going to watch.
All right. And with that, kind of takes us towards the end of our show. We just have one last thing, and I have no idea what the hell we're going to do, and that is our MVP of the week because, like I said, it was a pretty thin week. So I was kind of hoping somebody from Willow stepped up and did something, but based on your review, it doesn't sound like it. So I don't know who the hell we're going to give our MVP of the week. Maybe just because Netflix filled our top 10 most anticipated, we just give the CEO of Netflix our MVP of the week for just filling our lives with so much great content.
I have two pitches for you, Joe.
I am excited to hear them.
My first is Mindy Kaling. She produced Sex Lives of College Girls. It was really good. It's an HBO Max original, so it's not like some other TV show that's also on the streaming. It's like a streaming original series. So I have one pitch for her. My second pitch is, I know we gave Jenna Ortega the win last week, but with the views of being so big, how do we feel about this, her giving her another one? You know, two in a row, Jenna Ortega.
That's tough. That's tough because, like I said, it's just more of the back of last week. And Sex Lives of College Girls, I'm not going to lie, has been every time I fire up HBO Max, it's that top thing. And I'm just like, that doesn't really look like it's for me. So I haven't watched it. But if you watched it and you said it's great and people should be watching it, to me, I feel better saying let's give it to the person who actually released content this week.
I agree with you. Let's give Mindy Kaling the win. I like it.
Mindy Kaling, producer of and creator of The Sex Lives of College Girls, is our MVP of the week.
Whoops. How do we feel about making it a co-lead? Because she's also co-credited with Justin Noble, who I'm not familiar with, but he is credited on here. And, you know, let's give him some love, too. He's a TV writer who has his big break here with Mindy Kaling.
All right, he just won the most prestigious award you can win, and that's MVP of the Week on the Hand Plus podcast. Brought to you by Movie Changeup. You're welcome, everybody. And that, which is apparently my favorite transition, I think that finishes our show for the week. Anything else you have to say, Tristan?
No, I'm looking forward to next week. We have a whole list here of stuff to watch, so it's going to be a stack week next week of reviews.
All right, yeah, we're going to be watching reviewing Black Christmas, a movie neither of us have watched, for our movie of the week. So if you want to do that, find Black Christmas on streaming. I believe it's on Peacock as well as a number of free streaming services. So check out Black Christmas to kind of be caught up and talk about it with us next week. If you want to talk directly to us, tweet at Movie Change Up and talk to the hand. And without further ado, goodbye. Hey, thank you for watching the Movie Change Up podcast. We'd really appreciate if you liked, commented, subscribed, and shared us with anyone you think might be into what we're doing over here. Thank you. Have a nice day.